know, we've had a little bit of a break away from our journey through the book of Joshua. And so this morning we're going to return to it. This morning's going to be a little different. We're going to concentrate on five chapters. So I'm not going to go through, because these are some rather long chapters. So I'm not going to go through each verse, take it verse by verse. Instead, what I'm going to do is, because this has to do with the division of the land now. They've been in the land now for some 7 years. And now the land is to be divided, completed. So we're going to concentrate on that, tribe by tribe, and how the promised land was divided among them. When we look at how the land was to be divided, the first thing that you notice is that it goes from the largest Israelite tribe to the smallest. But I believe in order to understand this now, and this is why I said we're not going to take it verse by verse, because most of the verses list the cities and the villages that were given to them. But in order to understand this, we need to do a little history work. And we'll get into that. And then finally, I'm going to point out that there's a very significant and an important similarity that happened between these tribes that affects the future of the Israelites in the land. But there's so much here. But there's also much that we can learn from this and apply it to ourselves individually and to the church today. So let's get into this. The promised land. The promised land was divided by Yahweh. We need to be crystal clear on this. It was God's doing. Yes, he had Joshua and Aaron's son Eleazar, the high priest, to do it. Set it out, but it was Yahweh's doing. The inheritance. We're going to get back to that, because that's what's important for us. The inheritance was his doing. The division of the land, of the inheritance, was his doing. And one other thing, in that people... get confused on, can get confused on, some do get confused on. Yahweh giving them the land and the promised land was not the promise. God gave them the promise of the land. Okay. That was one of his promises. Was it not? He promised them the land. But I want to be clear on this. Think about this now. This was not the promise. This was not the promise of Abraham that God gave to Abraham. It's important to see that. Many people confuse that because they think it all has to do with today. When you look around it, and how many scholars and theologians and even ministers in other churches teach this and see it, is that with Israel, even today, Yes, we're friends with Israel. Are we not as a country? Then we should be. But they want to bring it all down to the land. You see? And having to do with that is, that's the promise. No. It's not all to do with land. The physical land. And that is not the promise that Yahweh, that God, gave to Abraham. The promise was what? It's laid out in Genesis 15, I think in Genesis 17, and Genesis 21. What was the promise that God gave to Abraham? That your descendants will be what? Your descendants will be as the stars in the heaven. Can we count the stars in heaven? Your descendants will be as the sand of the seashore. That's the promise. But it goes beyond the Jews. It includes us. And it includes some Jews. Now notice what I said there. Some Jews as well. And some Gentiles. Because it all has to do with the promise. And as I said this morning, people miss that they're not enough taught on this. And they just slide right by. In Acts chapter 2, with Peter on the day of Pentecost, to begin with, the Jews all said, well, they were cut to the heart, right? They wanted to know what they needed to do. And Peter said, repent and be immersed. He baptized, be immersed for the forgiveness of your sin. And you shall receive the gift of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, right? But then people want to cut it off. And they skip over verse 39. Peter then says, for the promise is for you and your children, and for all those who are far off. That's the promise. But it's not land.
Forgiveness of sins.
It's the inheritance. It's our inheritance. It's the inheritance that Yahweh is ultimately given. Now, here's an inheritance, yes. And this all ties into that, yes. And we need to see that. So Yahweh divides the land, the promised land, the land in the promised land, in three steps. The first was taken care of on the east side of the Jordan. Moses did that. That's found in the book of Numbers. What happened there? Two and a half tribes came together to Moses and said, we want to stay here. We like it here on the east side of the Jordan. So we want to stay here. And Yahweh said, God says, all right, you can do it. Two and a half tribes. Tribe of Reuben, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. And God said, okay, this can be your land. I promise you that. But remember what Moses told them. You can stay here, and this can be your land. But those of you who are old enough, and who are warriors, who are old enough to fight with the rest of the tribe, must come with us on the west side of the Jordan, into the land of Canaan that God has given us. You must help us. And they agreed to do it, did they not? And others were left there to take care of the land. So that was the first step. The second step was under Joshua at Gilgal. And then the third and final step, where Yahweh divides the lands, takes place at Shiloh. And we read about a little bit about mentioned a little bit about Shiloh this morning, about Jeroboam, but Shiloh. Why was the prophet, when Tony read about Jeroboam, why was the prophet at Shiloh? Because Shiloh was the center. And we're going to see that. But that's the third and the final step. So the first division of the land west of the Jordan. The east of Jordan has already been taken care of because God allowed them to have that. But now we have the first division of the land west of Judah, which is in chapter 15. Now chapter 15 had 63 verses. And what it does is it lays out all the territory of Judah, that the tribe of Judah is to get. Why the 63 verses? Judah is the largest tribe. They have the most people. They get the most territory. God designed it that way. And we talked about a couple of weeks ago about Caleb and what he got. And what he requested at 85 years of age. And then in chapter 15, we learned about how Caleb had a daughter, Asa. And Caleb said that whoever takes this part, I will give my daughter in marriage to Asa. And Othniel, Caleb's nephew, said, I can do it, I'll do it. And so he goes and does it, and Caleb's daughter, Aksa, is given to his nephew. So cousins marry. And they get their territory. And that's laid out in the first in verses here in chapter 15 as well. So the first 12 verses of chapter 15 tell us what Judah's boundaries were. It says, now the lot for the tribe of the sons of Judah, according to their families, reached the border of Edom, southward to the wilderness of Zin at the extreme south. Their south border was from the lower end of the Salt Sea, from the bay that turns to the south. Then it proceeded southward to the ascent of Akrabim and continued to Zin, then went up by the south of Kadesh Barnea, and continued to Hezron, and went up to Adar, and turned about to Karka. And it continues on, tells them how big the territory was in those first 12 verses there. Big territory. And it said in verse 12, the west border was at the Great Sea. What's the Great Sea? The Mediterranean. Even its coastline. This is the border around the sons of Judah, according to their families. And then in verses 13 through following, 13 through 20, you have the story of Caleb, his nephew Othniel, and Caleb's daughter Aksa. So the first 12 verses tell us what Judah's boundaries were. Their territory, to put it in a nutshell, began at the Dead Sea. That's the Salt Sea. It began at the Dead Sea, and it ended at a little river of Egypt. Not the Nile. A small river. Which was at the bend of the Mediterranean between Palestine and Egypt. That's a long ways. That's a big territory. But Judah now is a big tribe. It was the largest of the tribes. And notice that this territory also contained Jerusalem. But when we look further on in the chapters, you'll see that Jerusalem, Jabus, was actually given to the tribe of Benjamin. But later we know that David was the one who took Jebus and made it into Jerusalem, a city of peace. And he made that his capital. Now, verses 20 through 63 give us more detailed information, but I'm not going to read all those. But now we have to do a little history lesson. Why did Judah, in the Promised Land, the west of the Jordan, why did Judah receive the first of the land distribution? Didn't the inheritance, didn't the majority of an inheritance, and the inheritance usually go to the oldest son?
And he said that Scepter walked apart from Judah.
Judah wasn't the oldest, was he? So you have to look back, and that's again what we about history. You have to look at go to Genesis chapter 49. Jacob, we know, had 12 sons. Jacob, when he was dying in Egypt, he blessed his sons. And in Genesis 49, remember Judah now. Judah was not the oldest son of Jacob. Who was? Reuben. Now, the tribe of Reuben decided to stay on the west side, as well as Gad did. In the half-tribe of Manasseh. Of course, the people of Reuben, the Reubenites, they might have realized that they weren't going to receive the best of inheritance in the Promised Land because of their father's or their grandfather's blessing and prophecy. Look back at Genesis chapter 49. Verses 3 and 4. At the beginning of the chapter, Jacob summons his sons, and he said, "Assemble yourselves that I may tell you," notice what Jacob said, "that I may tell you what will befall you in the days to come." What is going to happen? This is my blessing, this is my prophecy to you. And notice what he said. "Gather together and hear, O sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father." Listen to Jacob. Listen to Israel, your father. Notice what verses 3 and 4 says. "Reuben, you are my firstborn. My might and the beginning of my strength. Preeminent in dignity and preeminent in power." Notice what he says in verse 4. "Uncontrolled as water, you shall not have preeminence. Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled. He went up to my couch." What's Jacob referring to there? Well, Reuben decided, as the oldest, that he could have relations with one of his father's mistresses. Bilhah. He had relations with Bilhah, Reuben did. Then, of course, Jacob found out about it. His father found out about it, didn't he? So Jacob says, "Israel, your father, says, Reuben, you will not have preeminence." Well, who's next in line? Well, the second old after Reuben that was born was Simeon. And then Judah? No. Then came Levi. Then Judah. Judah was fourth. Not first, but fourth. But see, it all has to do here with prophecy. That the largest of the inheritance should have went to Reuben because he was the oldest. However, Jacob set him aside. Yahweh was doing that because of his transgression against his father. The next two sons, as I said, were Simeon and Levi, not Judah. Now notice what Jacob says about them. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Of course they are. Yeah, they're next in line. He's going from the oldest to the youngest. Simeon and Levi are brothers. Their swords are implements of violence. Let my soul not enter into their council. Let not my glory be united with their assembly. Because in their anger they slew men, and in their self-will they lamed oxen. Cursed be their anger, for it is fierce, and their wrath, for it is cruel. I will disperse them. Notice what he says. I will disperse them in Jacob and scatter them. Scatter them in Israel. Notice that? Scatter them in Israel. Now we're going to return to this in a minute. Why did Jacob set them aside? Well, remember in Genesis chapter 34? What happened at Shechem? Shechem, prince of Shechem, he saw Dinah. And he raped her. And then he wanted to marry her. And remember what Simeon and Levi said.
Yeah.
You can do that, but here's the condition. And Jacob didn't know what they had said and what was going on. But here's the condition. All of you, including yourself, and all your men must be circumcised. And so they agreed to it. Now these are Canaanites. Land in. And what happens? Well, so they go and do it. And what does Simeon and Levi do? They take men, they take themselves, and they go and they kill all the males of Shechem, don't they? Including the one who raped Dinah. Jacob said, you brought dishonor to my name. You read Genesis 34. Jacob said, you brought dishonor to my name. We will now be loathed. You now be wanted. And so that's why Jacob does this. So neither do they get this division of the land. What does this teach us? I agree with Francis Schaeffer in this regard. He says, history does have meaning. The past brings forth the present, and the present influences the future. Something happens in history because of a previous effect. And we can relate that to today. To our country today. To what is happening. To the church as well. So Simeon and Levi didn't receive territory. However, Levi's case was changed. You read Exodus chapter 32, verse 26. You understand why Levi's case was changed. What happened in Exodus chapter 32? What did the children of Israel do? Moses is up on Mount Sinai. He's receiving the word from Yahweh. What did they do? They told Aaron, we know where Moses went to. What happened to him? Give us a god. So Aaron makes a calf, doesn't he? He makes a calf. They all
party.
They all party.
Yeah.
They all have orgies from this calf. Moses, of course, and Joshua come down, they see that. Moses destroys the idol, but then what happens? Moses says, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And who was it who came to him? Levi. The tribe of Levi. So because the tribe of Levi stood with Yahweh that day, God said, prophecy, Jacob's prophecy was still fulfilled. They didn't have their own territory as such, but God gave them a special place. God, Yahweh, specifically set them aside for His use. So, why did Judah receive the best of the land? Genesis 49, again, verses 8 through 10. Judah, your brothers, shall praise you. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons shall bow down to you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He couches, he lies down as a lion, and as a lion who dares rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. The ruling, that's what that's referring to. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him, Shiloh, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. He ties his foal to the vine, a donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washes his garments in wine, and his robes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are dull from wine, his teeth white from milk. And then we know in chapter 49, Jacob goes on to each tribe. And you see the significance of that, of how the land is divided. The significance of Judah? David's lineage. The scepter shall not depart from Judah. The ruling shall be in the tribe of Judah. That's David's lineage. And then it goes back. It ends with our Lord. Revelation chapter 5, verse 5. The Lion of the tribe of Judah will reign. Shiloh. That's Christ. That's our Lord. But before we return, we go to the others, the next major divisions, Joseph's sons. Read verse 63 of chapter 15. Now as for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the sons of Judah could not, notice this, the sons of Judah could not drive them out. So the Jebusites lived with the sons of Judah at Jerusalem until this day, the time of Joshua. And those leaders, they're still there. They didn't drive them out. That's the point of verse 63, but we're going to see the carried on. So in chapter 16 then, briefly, you have Ephraim's territory is laid out. In verses 1 through 9. What Joshua does next is the sons of Joseph's turn. Ephraim and Manasseh. And first, get Ephraim's territory. Verses 1 through 9 lays that out. Ephraim is the youngest. We talked about that this morning. When Jacob blessed Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who should it have went to? Manasseh. Manasseh was the oldest. But Jacob said, No, son, let it be this way. Because remember that Joseph was going to undo his father's hands, so it would be placed first on Manasseh, because he's the oldest, and then Ephraim. But Jacob said, no, let it be this way. This is the way it shall be, my son. So he gives the blessing first to Ephraim, and then Manasseh. So thus, in the division of the land, you see it this way. It follows Jacob's prophecy. It follows Jacob's blessing. And once more, you need to look at history. Back in Genesis chapter 48, verses 11 through 20, that's where you find that. But Israel stretched out his, in verse 14, but Israel stretched out his right hand, laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, crossing his hands over old Manasseh's firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, so he blesses Joseph, and then he said, then when Joseph saw that, he said, it dissuades him. So he grasped his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. In verse 18 it says, Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. You place your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He also will become a people, and he will also be great. However, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. Thus he put Ephraim before Manasseh. All done. God arranged all this. It was his doing. It was his doing. But once more, look at verse 10 of chapter 16. But they did not drive out the Canaanites who lived in Gezer. So the Canaanites live in the midst of Ephraim to this day. And they became forced laborers. Then in chapter 15 is laid out the territory of the half-tribe of Manasseh. In verses 1 through 11. The half-tribe of Manasseh received 10 portions of the land. And next, we see here how Yahweh does not show partiality on male and female side. See, God takes care of females as well, of women as well. You see, do you see this? And this is part of they were part of the tribe of the half-tribe of Manasseh. Yahweh takes care of some daughters of Israel. This goes back to Numbers chapter 27, Numbers 36. So Salafahad, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Salafahad, the son of Heber, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons, only daughters. But what about their land? What are they going to get? They get nothing? Because they're female? And gives the names of the daughters. Mala, Anoha, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. What do they get? Nothing? As I said, but no. If you read verse 4, they were given land as well. Yahweh granted them land. So he took care of the daughters of this man, of the tribe of Manasseh. In verses 12 to 13, we read some more significant verses. But the sons of Manasseh could not take possession of these cities, because the Canaanites persisted. Get that? Persisted in living in the land. It came about when the sons of Israel became strong, they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but they did not drive them out completely. And then you see the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, and Ephraim, and Manasseh, verses 14 through 18. They come and they do a little complaining to Joshua that they don't have enough territory. And Joshua tells them, well, you don't think you have enough? Then go take this. Quit complaining. Go take this. You can do it. And they complained about it. Because they said, we don't have enough territory. And then he says, so they gave them a little more. But verses 12 and 13 is significant here. The little complaining again, Joshua takes care of it. Now, verses chapters 18 through 19, we have the final division of the land. The rest of the land divided. The Israelites, the children of Israel, Joshua and all the Israelites, they moved their base of operations from Gilgal to what was known as Shiloh. Shiloh means the coming. Or the coming one. Now Shiloh was an area, was a territory. It was centrally located in the land of in the Canaan land. It's in the hill country. So the Israelites move up into the hill country instead of up in the plains. So and what they do is they take the tabernacle with them to make things permanent. So they set up their permanent base at Shiloh. You see the typology there. And then what Jacob said in the prophecy of Judah. When Shiloh comes, this was a reference to Christ as the coming one, as Shiloh. But now, they actually moved to a location, a central location in the land named Shiloh. But there's still a lot of land yet to be distributed and taken. Seven tribes remain to be given land. Notice what it says. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel assembled themselves at Shiloh and set up the tent of meeting there. And the land was subdued before them. There remained among the sons of Israel seven tribes who had not divided their inheritance. So Joshua said to the sons of Israel, those seven tribes, how long? Now notice what Joshua says. How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? It's there. So he says, here's what we're going to do. You take three men from each of those seven tribes. 20 guys. You take them and you go and survey the land. And then you come back. And you tell us about it. And so that's what they did. And then what did Joshua do? God had Joshua, through Eleazar, cast lots for the division and the distribution of the land among the seven tribes. First comes Benjamin, the youngest. Verses 11 through 28, the territory of Benjamin. Then in chapter 19, you have the territory of Benjamin. This is significant as well because Benjamin abuts up against Judah. When the children of Israel divided, and they're finally divided, the kingdoms are divided, who goes with Judah? Benjamin. Judah and Benjamin are together. So then next you have, in verses 1 through 9, the territory of Simeon. And it's interesting about Simeon. Simeon was not given their own land as such. They were given areas among the rest of the tribe. The second lot fell to Simeon, to the tribe of the sons of Simeon, according to their families and their inheritance. Well, actually not through all the tribe, just through Judah. Their inheritance was in the midst of the inheritance of the sons of Judah. Now, why did that take place? Why did the lot fall like that? Because it goes back to the prophecy and the blessing that received, and that Simeon received from Jacob. God is honoring Jacob's blessing. God is saying, yep, because Simeon did this, Simeon will be in the midst of Judah. That's what Jacob said. And that's what happened then. And then in verses 10 through 16 of chapter 19, you have the division of Zebulun. 17 through 23 is the territory of Issachar. 24 through 31 is the territory of Asher. 32 through 39 is that the territory of Naphtali. And then the last, the smallest of the tribes, Dan. Verses 42-48. So all the land is divided then. Now what happened? Verses 49 through 51. Joshua's old. The land has been divided. The territory's been all given out. But what about Joshua? See, Joshua is not of the tribe of Judah. Joshua comes from the tribe of Benjamin. When they finished apportioning the land for inheritance by its borders, the sons of Israel gave an inheritance in their midst to Joshua, the son of Nun. In accordance with, now notice why it was in accordance, why they did that. Verse 50, in accordance with the command of the Lord that gave him the city for which he asked. Timnath Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. So he built the city and settled in it. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel distributed by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting till they finished dividing the land. So Yahweh, God, because of what how Joshua led them, Yahweh gave Joshua his own part, his own inheritance, which he receives. Joshua is given the city, and he rebuilds it. But now Joshua is at an advanced stage. So we come to the conclusion of this. The Israelites have their, and this is important to see, the Israelites now have their physical inheritance. They have the land. The land has been divided. The land as such becomes at peace. But what was the point of those verses there? What was the thing that they did not do? They didn't drive them all out, did they? Could they? Now, here's the question. Think about it. Could they have driven them all out?
Yeah.
Why didn't they?
They'd rather have them for slaves. They just chose to ignore God.
They didn't rely on God.
Yeah.
What's that?
They did not rely on God.
They did not rely on God. And as you said, Renee, exactly. Why get rid of these people? We can use them. We'll put them to forced labor. That's what it said. That's what they did. So did they follow God's directions completely?
No.
No. They did get the physical land, but what happened as a result of them leaving the people there?
Idolatry.
idolatry in that. God allowed it to happen, didn't he?
Man's free will.
He allowed it to happen. That's a lesson today as well. You see? We have an inheritance too. The New Testament teaches us, and this is not taught enough, is that the church, the church is the new Israel. Scriptures teach that crystal clear. It's not a physical land over in the Middle East. The church, we are the new Israel of God. Isn't that what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2? For you are a what?
Royal priesthood.
You are a royal priesthood. You are a house made of stones? No. That's what it says there. We, the church, is the new Israel. When Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 6, verse 16, when he says about the new Israel of God, who's he talking about? The church. What it says in Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24, what we read, it's the church. Now that lays some heavy responsibility upon us all in the church. What's the number one thing that God requires of us? What's that?
Obedience.
Exactly. Obedience. Obedience. We follow His way. Not man's way, but His way. And what that means is, it being different from the world. Next, it not allowing the Canaanite, so to speak, to infiltrate the church and bring what God does not want in the church among us. What He does not want in the church. But you and I, as the church, we have that inheritance. Why? Because you and I, we are children of the promise through Shiloh, through the line of the tribe of Judah. We also have territory. Not physical territory as such, but we do have territory. And that territory is ourselves. And that territory is the church. And we must guard it. We must guard ourselves, and we must guard the church. And brothers and sisters, we need to take that deeply to heart, especially as the years go on. Just think about Think about what's happening in our country and in the world. Satan is loose. And we have to be on guard so that we keep our inheritance. We can lose in our inheritance. What happened to the Jews? What happened to the children of Israel because they didn't completely follow what God told them to do? Did they have their territory? Did they keep it? No. Even though the ones that are in Israel today, do they have all the territory that God had originally given them? No. Not at all. Not by a long shot.
It wasn't until, 1960?
What's that?
When did they finally declare themselves a nation? 1948.
But not in God's name.
Yeah. No.
They were just the nation of Israel.
By man's will.
Yeah. Let's stand and have a word of prayer. It's so important that we see these things and that we keep them in continuity with the history. And you see, again, what Al Schaefer said, how history is so important and what happens. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Father, that we can see these things in your word. And Father, that indeed that we can see that just as the children of Israel have physical inheritance, we also have an inheritance. The reward of that inheritance, Father, we look forward to when your son comes again, when Shiloh comes, the line of the tribe of Judah, which is your son and our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Help us to remember these things, Father. May we take these things to heart. Father, guide us and direct us. Guard our faith, Father. Protect us. May we look to you for that. Be with us now, Lord, as we go to our homes. Guide and direct us throughout this week. Lead us to those who need to hear these things as well, Father, that they might come to know and to have the saving knowledge that can only come through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask all these things. Amen.
Yeah.
going around and writing Winnie the Pooh.
When you told your dad, say
it was that
more, say standing more.
Yeah, exactly.
Let it hang up.
Yeah, what did we do?
It's gonna be me.
Well, I'm coming to capture. Who should I capture? Can I capture Sydney?
Yeah.
Ah!
Ooh. The super punch.
Ah. I don't want to. Ooh! 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 Oh! I captured.
Thank you.